Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
As Matthew introduced us earlier, we have been talking about Elijah, not just in big church, but also in little church, under the context of fired up and how God used fire so many times in the ministry of Elijah, as well as we're going to be talking about bread here a little bit later in our service today. Our theme for today is God is always with us. God is always with us. Would you say that with me, please? God is always with us. One more time. God is always with us. Amen. What are some things that are always with us? Okay, God, we got the easy answer. Okay. Jesus, good. Hope. I was going to say, we don't have to give church answers just because we're in church. Our phones, good one, Bradley. What else? Clothes, thank you. Hey, did somebody just say hair? Oh, air. Okay. I can calm back down again. It was air was the answer. People are always with us. Yes. Pizza is always with us. That's heaven. Okay. Lot of things. God is with us. I thought for sure someone would say death and taxes, because those things are always with us. And you're right. There's a lot of things that are always with us. A lot of things are permanent in our lives. And the best thing is that to know that God is always with us, and he is with us everywhere we go. We've been studying Elijah. And the first week we got together, we talked about how God called him to go to King Ahab and give him a terrible message. And that message was that you've been a bad king, your wife Jezebel has been horrible, you've been mean to the people, so as your punishment, I'm going to make it not rain. And it won't rain for, it ended up being 3 years, but they didn't know that at the time. He said, it's not going to rain. Well, what happens when it doesn't rain? All the plants die, and then all the animals die, and then the people start to die, and it was a horrible thing. So Elijah went to hide in a little brook near his home, and he was going to hide from the king because the king and all the other kings of the countries around are looking for him. They want to kill him. And in this brook, God makes it so it never runs dry, and then every day, ravens bring him bread and meat. So we're starting to see how God uses bread in the life and the ministry of Elijah. Then the next week we studied God versus Baal on Mount Carmel. Ding, 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 ding. Saturday night. It's God versus Baal on Mount Carmel. And you know how that went and how God delivered and showed his power to the people. Then the next week we studied how because of that, he ran to Mount Horeb. Elijah thought he was the last, and that was the lesson last week, both here and in big church, was how he thought he was the last person on earth that knew about God. He knew he was old. He knew he was about to leave this world. And so he's like, God, I just want to die and just end it. It's not worth it. And on the way to that Mount Horeb, an angel appears, and an angel bakes him some bread and gives it to him. And God appears to him not in the firestorm, not in the earthquake, not in the windstorm, but God appears to him in a still small voice and tells him, I still have three jobs for you to do before you leave. And one of those three jobs was to call Elisha. Actually, I forgot 1 week, didn't I, kids? The second week, he is told, this is the craziest story in Elijah's life to me. He's told to go to the capital city, Zarephath, of the country that they're at war with. So imagine if we were at war with the country, and God called you to go to the capital of the country we're at war with. And you know what Elijah does? He listens. He goes there. And then the next crazy thing happens. He meets a woman as he's walking into town. He says, hey, lady, what are you doing? She says, I'm picking up sticks because I'm going to go home and make a fire. I've got just enough flour and oil so that I can make one little piece of bread, and then my son and I will eat it, and after that, we're going to starve to death. And Elijah says the craziest thing. Kids, who remembers? What does Elijah say? Yeah, he says, give me that bread. He says, feed me. And the woman does the even crazier thing. What did she do? She did. She gave it to him. Now, she doesn't serve God, but she knows who this man of God is. He's the one that all the kings are looking for. He's the prophet of Yahweh. And she gives it to God's servant. And because of that, for the next 3 years, while there's no rain and there's starvation throughout this part of the world, her flour jar never runs empty and her oil never runs dry. That she has that for as long as she is taking care of God's servant. And one of the I want to go back then. One of the three jobs that Elijah was given was to find a man named Elisha. He told him who his dad was. He told him what city you'll find him in. And he says, I want you to take him, and I want you to start to mentor him. I want him to follow you around, be with you all the time, and learn about how to do. Because God says, I need a prophet today. I need someone who will speak for me to the world. And Elijah, your days are numbered. And it reminds me, if you could keep my calendar on your prayer list. My calendar is very depressed. He found out his days were numbered. So anyway, kids, it's okay to laugh. I know you never laugh in children's church either. All right, so we're going to talk really fast about mentoring someone. What does it mean to mentor someone? Elijah is supposed to mentor Elisha. What does a mentor do? Yes. Okay, Aaliyah? Okay, a mentor follows God. Not always. This one will, for sure. Yeah, what's a mentor do? Yeah, teaches, leads. Exactly. It's to lead. It's kind of like today what we would say is on-the-job training. You learn from someone who knows how to do something well. You spend time with them. You see them in all different circumstances, and you learn how to do what they do. So what should a good mentor be like? Well, I think a good mentor should be generous, should be kind, should be loving, and don't have the attitude that, well, it took me a lot of hard work and a lot of sacrifice to get this information. I'm not just going to freely give it. No, God wants us to give what we have. What should be the attitude of the mentee? We're creating words today. Okay, be grateful. What was yours? Listen, yeah, be humble. Realize that you don't know everything that you need. So what would you do if you were Elijah? Would you share freely what you knew about how to be God's prophet? What would you do if you were Elisha? Would you accept freely what Elijah is giving you? Before we go on, kids, I want you to know, Jesus' plan for your life is that you would become a disciple and then that you would make disciples. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, and if you don't think you're his disciple yet, he calls you to be his disciple. He will also call you to sit under someone's leadership and direction, one of his people who can pour into you. And then when that's done, you're not supposed to keep it a secret, and the relay race doesn't stop there. It goes on, and your job then is to pour into someone. So are you learning from someone? Are you being discipled by someone? If not, are you teaching someone? Are you discipling and pouring into another? I want us to hear a verse. Jesus did the same very method, didn't he? He called his 12 disciples, exactly. And he is sending them out in Matthew chapter 10 to do great things in the community. And this is his pep talk he gives his 12 disciples before he sends them out. He says in Matthew 10, 8, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, and freely you must give. Isn't that a powerful message for us today? Freely we have received, freely we are to give. God and someone has been generous in your life, and it's our job to pass that on. All right, before we get to the text, I needed a couple of volunteers to help just do something silly. All right, kids, come on up. We're going to be standing over here at the purple line. I need like 4 kids and 2 adults. So let me get 2 grown-ups. Jason, you want to help? Paulie, you want to help? Okay, Jason and Paulie, I want you to grab this caution tape here. Kids, go on over here where the purple tape is. And Paul's going to demonstrate something for you today. We're going to have, this fits, trust me, this fits in with the lesson later. Jason and Paul, I'm going to have you stand about here, but one of you hold one end of the tape and the other one hold the other end of the tape. And it's going to work better, Paulie, if you swing that way. We're going to do a relay race. So if you hold it like that, the kids will like, yeah, exactly. So Jason, can you stand over here? Paulie will point to you. Okay, kids, we are going to do what's called a slow race today, okay? A slow race is where you have to keep moving, you have to keep going forward, but whoever comes in last wins. So you have to keep going as slow as you can, keep making progress. And we, actually, Paulie, let's move it closer because I don't think we have, yeah, we may not have hours of time. Jason, can you slide over this way? Thank you. All right. And let's begin. On your marks, get set, go. Parents, this might be a good time for photos. Try hard. Push. Sutton, you can do it. Get your arms out. Push. It's worth it. Yay! All right, thank you so much. Can we give him a big hand? It takes a lot of courage to get up in front of people like that, so I thank you guys so much. Hey, let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to read about Elijah from 2 Kings chapter 2. Father God, thank you so much for today and the opportunity you give us to be in your house. Thank you for calling us to be your voice in the world, to be your hands and your feet. And Father, I feel a huge burden at that because so many times I feel unqualified and unable. But Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would come and fill me and fill us so that we can be your representatives to a world that needs you so desperately. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 2. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets at Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that your Lord is going to take away your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha said, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets at Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "so be quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men from the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You've asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his garment and tore it in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and struck the water with it. Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah? He asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. Well, there's a lot in there to unpack, isn't there? First of all, notice how many times did Elijah test his young mentee, Elisha? We see three times, didn't we? Where he said, hey, you just stay here. I'm going to go off by myself. All three times, what does Elisha say? No. He says, no. not going to happen. He says, I will be with you. I will be faithful to you until the end. Notice how Elisha is sad. How when the other prophets come up and say, hey, by the way, did you know that Elijah's going to leave the world today? How does he respond? Exactly. He's like, be quiet. Knock it off. I know. What's wrong with you? And then when he is taken, he rips his clothes. That was the thing people used to do back then to show they were really upset. They were really in mourning and sad as they would rip their clothes. And he rips his clothes and he cries to God. We notice how Elijah is generous and kind when he decides to give Elisha one thing that he asked for. He says, hey, you know, what's one thing that you'd like to have for your ministry? Today's my last day. What can I do for you? And remember what he asked for? He says, I would like a double portion of the Spirit. And Elijah says, boy, it's tough. You've asked for something very difficult. But if you're with me when I go, if you're faithful to the end, I'll see that you receive it. And did you know in the Bible it says that Elijah did 16 miracles? We can count 16. Can you guess how many we can count that Elisha did in the Bible? 32. He got exactly a double portion of God's Spirit. And we see Elijah's generosity and kindness. We see Elisha's humility. God is always with us. Can we say that again? God is always with us. I mentioned earlier we were going to talk a little bit about bread today because God used bread and that we dressed poor Matthew up in that silly costume. And God talked a lot about bread in the ministry of Elijah, also in the ministry of Elisha, how when he was hiding in the brook, he was fed bread by the ravens. The widow of Zarephath had bread continually for 3 years. And on his way to Mount Horeb, the angel provides him with bread to give him strength for the journey. In all cases, I see this one truth screaming out from the scriptures to us. And that truth is that what people thought they needed was bread, but what they really needed was a relationship with God. All right, the lady thought, well, I need bread to help me survive for tomorrow. And God gave her knowledge of him, sent a prophet to her house so that in 3 years' time she would get to know about him. And I wonder if the same thing is still happening to for us today. If there's something that we think we need, but that's not really what we need. What we need is a relationship with God. Do you guys know the difference between when we want something and when we need something? What does it mean when we want something? Hold on, she's trying to, what's that? When they won't give us it, but we want to give them to give it to us. Miss Andy, I think I heard your voice. Okay. Yeah, exactly. A need is something we have to have to survive. A want is when we have a preference of how that need is given to us. Like all we need is a few calories every day, right? But we want a steak and a potato. Okay, that's how we want the need to be fulfilled. And I've wondered if many of us in our world today are going through life thinking that we need something. We need that new house, that new car, that better job, that respect from a loved one. We need that boyfriend or girlfriend. We need something. And God is crying out to us, what you think you need is not what you need. What you really need is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The exact same thing happened to Jesus. And we're going to go to John chapter 6 if you're following along in your scriptures. Jesus had a great day, a day when he went out to the wilderness to teach and thousands showed up. We're actually told there were 5,000 men that were numbered. And so if there were women and children there, the number was huge out in the wilderness. And on that day, Jesus had compassion and pity on the people because they had no food. And he found 2.5 fish sandwiches. He found 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And it says that he fed 5,000 so much that they had enough leftovers to fill 12 baskets. And after the day after that miracle, Jesus goes on to the next town to teach. Well, the people from there follow him. Why do they follow him? Because they want more bread. They don't want more teaching. They want more bread. And here's what Jesus says to them when they catch up to him on the next day. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So then they asked him, well, what sign will you give us that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And sir, they said, always give us this bread. And Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Again, we see these people who have seen a great miracle of Jesus. And wouldn't you have loved to have seen one of these miracles Jesus performed? And they got to see one of the great miracles of Jesus, feeding 5,000 people from a sack lunch with more leftovers than you started with. And they come back the next day, we want food. And Jesus says, I'm not going to give you food. You should ask me for a better food, a food that never goes bad and never needs to be replaced. Once you've eaten it, you'll never be hungry again. Oh, yeah, we'll take this food. And Jesus' answer is, I am that food. See, what you think you need is another meal. What you think you need is free stuff, things for gifts from heaven. What you really need is a relationship with Jesus. Brother Alex is going to come at this time to get us ready for our communion. And I just challenge you as we move on in this service to remember that what you think you need is not what you need, but what you really need is a relationship with Jesus and his Father.